Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're going to slip out of the officially sponsored Warrior Wednesday, brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a 2016 premier Porsche dealer, to slip back into what we used to know here. As a Wingo Wednesday, he is the host of ESPN's NFL Live. Trey Wingo joins us once again talking about a big, busy week of football and another win for the Raiders. They are 9-2, Trey. I'm talking, it's more than anyone really could have expected. And now they're being discussed as a serious contender for the AFC Championship, where I think the default setting is New England Patriots versus blank. Seems like a lot of people are going to the Raiders to fill in that blank. Are they right to do so?
Well, I think, you know, based on what they've done in the regular season, absolutely. And look, first of all, congratulations to all Raider fans. This is something new and different. For the first time since 2002, you are guaranteed a winning season, even if you lose the last five games. Now, no one is suggesting they're going to or would want them to lose the last five games, but that in itself is significant. For the first time since 2002, the Raiders are going to be winners. How far they win in the postseason will go a long way on whether or not that defense can round itself into form, but they have playmakers back there, and I think that's the most optimistic thing. Yeah, the defense has struggled at times, but they have guys like Khalil Mack, like Bruce Irvin, who can make plays when they absolutely need them.
You know, there's a lot of talk about Derek Carr being a MVP. There's talk about Khalil Mack being Defensive Player of the Year. If we're talking about that, why not talk about Jack Del Rio being the Coach of the Year?
Why not? Absolutely right. And he's done a lot of things along this season to put himself in that consideration. Although I will say, watching that game on Sunday when they were trying to ice the game down there with a TD late, and, you know, Carolina only had one timeout. I really wish they had run the ball one time. Now, look, they made it work. They got the sack of Cam Newton, and that ended the game. But, you know, a field goal still helps you, and a field goal still beats you there. And I instead of throwing it three times at the goal line, it might have been a better decision to run it once and make them burn that timeout.
Oh, it's not perfect. There hasn't been a full four-quarter game yet. Which, again, instead of looking at that as a negative, I think at this point in time in the year, you have to look at that as a positive, along with the news that we should have news about Aldon Smith by the end of this week. I heard Friday is going to be a big day for the announcement. We'll see if it happens. Are you leaning one way or the other? Do you see Aldon playing again this year or not?
Well, I think I would lean him playing again, because that's sort of the pattern that we've seen with Commissioner Goodell. And, you know, they've taken as much time, literally, as they are allowed to on this decision. So if you can get Aldon Smith back with Bruce Irvin, with Khalil Mack, then you have three guys that are certified, bona fide pass rushers. And, you know, ask the Denver Broncos how significant that is. I mean, those are game-changing players. If they can get Aldon Smith back and put him in the rotation, there's never going to be an easy snap for a quarterback going forward when they drop back to pass. That's a big deal.
Got Trey Wingo here on 95.7 The Game. If Kaepernick leaves, there'll be a lot of people who are probably happy to see him go. But the truth is, he's actually playing better, even though it's not showing up in the win column. All of a sudden, the Niners offense has gone from doing nothing to doing something, and I guess that's improvement. And, you know, I do give him credit, because they went to Miami to play a football game, even though the season is far gone. They played hard. You know, they're a one-win team that went on the road and played hard. I do respect that. I just don't know what the end game is here. What from this season could positively translate into next season?
Well, that's an excellent question, because, you know, that encapsulates another issue, which is whether or not Chip Kelly's going to be back there. Because I do believe that for what Chip wants to do, Colin is the best quarterback to fit that system. But then the question becomes, do you bring back a guy who's going to lose 10, 11, 12 games in a row? And how will that be sold on the populace and the fan base and the tickets, season ticket holders? And so I really think those two are intertwined. I'm not sure you can let Cap go and bring Chip back, and I'm not sure you can let Chip go and bring Cap back, because the things that he does well are the things that Chip would like to exploit, and if they're not there together, I'm not sure what the end result will be going forward in 2017 for Colin.
Joe Theismann, who I worked with a small handful of times on ESPN radio when I was back in Bristol, and I liked very much. I really like Joe Theismann. What a great guy Joe Theismann is. But he said recently that any GM who trades for Tony Romo is trading for damaged goods, and that GM should be fired. And I thought, well, you know, isn't a GM's job to upgrade his team? And I'll tell you right now, Tony Romo in Chicago, in San Francisco, in Cleveland, and probably a handful of other cities is an instant upgrade over their scenario, fragility or not. What do you think is the future for Romo?
Well, that's a great question, because I do think that Romo, look, there are still people in our place who will literally debate and fight me over whether or not Tony Romo should be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys right now, despite what Dak has been able to do and, you know, the things that they've been able to get together and win 10 straight since week one. The biggest issue for Tony is, look, he can make every throw. There's no question about that. He is smart. He's savvy. And for all the knocks against him that are based on a lot of ways of false narrative, he's a clutch player. Since he came into the league, no one has more fourth quarter come from behind game-winning drives or overtime wins on drives than Tony Romo. But at this point, you have to make sure that you have a decent offensive line in front of it. If I'm Tony Romo and I'm going to be traded, and I believe that's going to happen, I'm going to say to Jerry Jones, look, man, find me a decent offensive line. It doesn't have to be as good as Dallas's is, because I'm not sure there is another one, maybe outside of Oakland or Tennessee, and they're set at quarterback. But don't put me behind a patchwork offensive line. That's my only concern with Tony, because of the back issues. As you well know, back issues are difficult to deal with, especially if they're repetitive. Look, Chicago could be good, but how good is their offensive line, and how good can he be behind a patchwork offensive line? Because that means every hit could be the last one of his career. And I think the only concern with Romo is, can you put him behind a team that has a solid offensive line? That should be the number one concern. Everything else, you have no issues with Tony.
Talking with our buddy Trey Wango about the NFL, which is reportedly considering getting rid of Thursday night football. I'm going to make you judge, jury, executioner. It's your decision solely. Thursday night football stays or goes?
Pull it. Pull it, except for Thanksgiving or maybe down the stretch of the season. Look, I don't think they're going to do that, because people will be willing to pay them money. And based on, you know, 90 years of history, that's what the NFL really likes.
Money, yeah.
Money. Roger, once that report came out, the commissioner's office already released a statement saying we are fully supported behind this, blah, 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 blah. I would be shocked if they tried to pull the plug. But let's be honest, as much as the product isn't good, it was interesting to listen to the Twitter reaction on that. People kept saying, yeah, you know, it's not really good, but I still watch it. And, you know, if the network that has it, whether it's NBC or CBS, decided they wouldn't want it, five other networks would grab it.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's going to be a business decision over a quality of the game decision. And that's pretty much been the precedent that the NFL has set forward.
Why in heaven's name would Jeff Fisher make the decision, if indeed he did, to suspend Eric Dickerson? The way I see it is, once you're a Hall of Famer, there is no you get the key to the whole sport. Like, if you want to appear on the sideline of the Super Bowl, you get to do that. If you want to sit on Bill Polian's lap the next time you guys are doing a show together, a Hall of Famer can do that in his gold blazer. It gives them access to everything at all times. What do you make of this? And how ridiculous is it that a coach who is fighting for his job in the middle of a season full of 7-9 BS is even dealing with this?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me, Damon. And I get it that the Rams might be angry if he's criticizing them and he still wants all these things from them. I get that might be personally offensive to them on some level. I get that. I do. But at the end of the day, I have one question. Where is the win for the Rams in this scenario? Show me the area in which it points the arrow upwards for them in this entire conflict. And the answer is, there is none. They're a team that is struggling to find an identity, struggling to latch on to their fan base there. Every other team, or many other teams, by the way, in that L.A. market, their television ratings beat the ratings of Rams games when they're up.
Including USC.
Correct. I mean, you're not. You need to engender yourself and endear yourself to a fan base. Eric Dickerson is beloved by L.A. Rams fans because they remember him. They remember him as a rookie. They remember him all the things they did, and they remember the horrible decision to trade him away to Indianapolis, which was great for the Colts and terrible for the Rams. I get it. You're personally upset. And, you know, Jeff Fisher said today, well, you can't have it both ways. Actually, you can. You can be critical and still request things because, you know what, at the end of the day, no matter what, popularity-wise, Eric Dickerson is always going to come out ahead of Jeff Fisher. That's just a fact.
Right.
That is an undeniable certainty. And by the way, Jeff Fisher does himself no favors when today, on a conference call, he was asked about the playmaking running backs for the New England Patriots, and he mentioned Danny Woodhead, who happens to be on the Chargers and happens to be on injured reserve.
I mean, he must have been joking, right? Can we give him the...
I don't think he was.
No? Really?
I don't think he was. No, I really don't think he was.
Well, look at it this way. This is the guy who moved back to L.A. to die on Eric Dickerson Hill. So go figure, right? I mean,
it just makes no sense. And look, the Rams are dying on this Jeff Fisher Hill for some reason. If he has one more loss this season, then I think it's pretty safe to assume that barring, you know, an act of God, they're going to go to New England and lose on Sunday. It will be the 16th non-winning season in Jeff Fisher's 22 years as a head coach. Now, let's just think about that. 22 minus 16 is 6. That means in 22 years, he had a winning record 6 times. How does that guy get 22 years as a head coach?
That's a damning stat, if I have ever heard one. Anyone wants to carry a bucket of water for Jeff Fisher, you might want to take a look at that stat before you do it again. Hey, I know how much you love a good radio call. I don't know if you had the chance to listen to this. Khalil Mack's strip call called by our very own Greg Papa. How great is this?
Cam Newton in the shotgun. Olsen is tight right. 3 receivers go left. Newton is back on 4th down. Time. Ball got stripped. The ball is free. The Raiders will take over on downs. The Raiders are 9-2. How did they win this one? What a game.
The nation's back, Wingo.
It ain't going anywhere, and the league is better when the Raiders are relevant, and they are more than relevant now, boys.
They certainly are. Great to talk to you as always, man. Thanks so much.
You got it, Damon. Take care.
Trey Wingo here on 95.7 The Game. Wingo Wednesdays forever. Of course, it's also a Warrior Wednesday here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by the Premier Kia of Newark, the go-to dealer for the greater Newark area. Speaking of the Warriors, you know, they got the Rockets coming into town tomorrow. I thought that this is a pretty interesting stat because Warriors versus Rockets equals the Warriors won that game. At least that's the way recent history has played out. They absolutely own Houston. They're looking for their 9th straight win over Houston. Of course, they're riding a NBA best 12-game winning streak, and we're going to talk about all of this with Steve Kerr. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got the Warriors head coach joining us. How about this? Golden State's on pace to become the first NBA team to average more than 117 points per game since Run TMC in 91-92. So, I mean, they are just pushing it at a pace the NBA is unfamiliar with. Steph Curry, have you noticed that he's taken fewer threes to this point than he did to this point last year? He has actually taken 25 fewer threes through the first 18 games of this season as opposed to last season. But guess what? He's still already hit 75 threes. He's knocked down 75 threes through 18 games. It's just the second time in the history of basketball that that's ever happened. The only other time it's ever happened is when Curry knocked down 90 through 18 games last year. Curry is such a great, prolific three-point shooter, you almost don't even see it anymore. It's like hidden in plain sight right in front of you. It's amazing how good he is at what he does. So much attention has been on Kevin Durant. So much attention has been on Draymond Green. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. God almighty, Steph Curry is maybe even better at any point in time in his career, and now he's going to the rim more frequently than any other point in time in his career. His efficiency is going to go up. Those turnovers stay down. And good luck, NBA, with that. Seriously, you're going to need it. Let's go to a couple callers here. Nene, calling from Oakland. What's up, Nene?
Hey, man, what's going on? I want to get back to the issue of the Raiders and the AFC Championship with the Patriots. I think we all got to hold off on that for a second and focus up on the Chiefs. They have beat us three in a row. And before we even get all excited about giving it back to Tom Brady and the whole Tuck rule thing, we got to focus up on these Chiefs first of all.
Hey, first of all, let's focus on the Buffalo Bills. That's the game in between now in Kansas City, and that is something you got to take care of. This is a defense that gives up a whole bunch of yards on the ground that's got the number one rushing attack in the NFL coming its way, and Shady McCoy, who's slipperier than a stick of butter. So you got to focus on that if you're Jack Del Rio and Ken Norton. And then, unfortunately, this damn Chiefs game happens on a short week. It's a Thursday night game. So it's going to be tough to go into Arrowhead and win. It really will be.
I hear you.
I'm glad you heard me. Thank you, Nene, for the call. He heard me, Gianna. He was there.
Whew, good.
He got me. I think it's important that the callers be able to hear me.
That's number one priority.
I think it's important for everybody, the entire audience.
It would help.
Really, really does. Bill calling from Forestville. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Damon, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
I just want to correct some stuff that, A, was in the Maturin Ross article about the Raider deal, and also to correct one of the callers that I heard a little bit earlier. First of all, the public financing is for infrastructure, and from what I understand, the way that is going to be financed is through lease revenue bonds, and that money does not come out of general obligation or the general fund. So they're not general obligation bonds. They're lease revenue bonds, and they're going to get paid off through the taxes that are generated in the area around the Coliseum, and that's how those bonds get paid off. Another thing in the Maturin Ross column, they said that the NFL is going to give the Raiders $200 million. In all actuality, it's $300 million because they're giving both San Diego and the Raiders an extra $100 million if they stay in their home market.
Right.
And so that's another misconception. And the other misconception is that Ronnie Lott wants ownership in the team. I sent you a link via Twitter that shows the interview that Mike Schumann from ABC did with Ronnie Lott, where Ronnie Lott says, point blank, I'm not looking for an interest in the team.
Does he speak for everyone in his investment group? That's the thing. Ronnie might not be into that, but maybe the other people. I mean, here's the thing. Ronnie's the figurehead of that group. He's not the deep pocket. What's the deep pocket want?
Well, Fortress is obviously going to want to develop around the stadium and get the income off of the retail, and also there's probably going to be a stadium lease. So there's a lot of money there to be made.
I appreciate your call.
Bill,
thank you very much. Again, I don't want to get too far down the bonds and approvals and tax certificates, and that's just terrible radio. We're not going to get into that. And I say this over and over again. There's no such thing as the government that spent its money well. There really is not a such. There's no such thing as, and the taxes were spent correctly, and the children got smarter, and the hospitals got better, and everyone's eating organic vegetables and healthy now. Like, that never happens. It's waste upon waste upon waste upon boondoggle upon bad idea upon blown up structure upon this didn't work out after all anyways. So invest in the one thing that I know does not lose money in the long run, that I know actually affects the morale of your citizenry. There's more pride coursing through the streets of Oakland and its surrounding areas, and there is more pride coursing through the life of Raider fans this season as opposed to last season. And it might mean we're absolutely nut jobs as sports fans, but we take a transference of success or failure that our teams have and apply it to ourselves. I just did it with the Chicago Cubs. I can't even tell you what a bounce that put in my step. Seriously, it's like losing your sports virginity. It's like, oh my God, I'll never forget that. So much fun. Thank you. Just think back to that very first title that the Warriors won. No, not the very first, but the one that they just won. Think of that day at Lake Merritt. Think of the smiles on the faces of everyone that you saw. Think of that parade. Think of the fans. Think of the city. Think of the beautiful day that it was. It's the best day Oakland's had in since when? I mean, come on. Not to mention, like Trey Wango just said, the NFL is better when the Oakland Raiders are relevant. I don't know if the NFL's better when the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's the thing. The mystique is not in the mascot. It's in the city. Don't you understand that? That's what's special. The 49ers thought that the most important word in San Francisco 49ers was 49ers. They were wrong. The most important words were San Francisco. And without those, you lost your brand. You lost your brand identity, even though you technically still have them. Everyone knows it's a lie. Everyone knows it's completely removed from the way things used to be. And believe me, people enjoy the way things used to be more than the way things are when it comes to that team. The Raiders are looking right down the barrel of the same gun. Mark Davis thinks that the word Raiders is the most important part of Oakland Raiders. I think he's wrong on that. And I would not want to be the team that was the litmus test for sustainability year after year after year, decade after decade of a professional team in the city of Las Vegas. Why don't we take a look at what the Vegas Golden Knights do in the NHL for a little while before everyone goes running to a franchise in Las Vegas? And as we said before, that's a terrible name for their hockey team, the Vegas Golden Knights. Gambling stigma or not, they should have gone with Vegas Aces. Their home jersey is the Ace of Spades, and I can think of the first three alternate jerseys that you wear. The Ace of Clubs, the Ace of Diamonds, and the Ace of Hearts.
That is very cool. Yeah.
How much better is that than Golden Knights?
You should have sent them the idea for a fee, of course.
Golden
Knights just does, I'm not feeling it at all.
No way, Damon. The Niners were way better off without Candlestick. That place was a dump. Yeah, in which they forged five Super Bowls. Not bad for a dump. You have no evidence, by the way, to back up that the Niners are better off without Candlestick. If you'd like to use something as rudimentary as, I don't know, winning, they're certainly not. They have a losing record by a wide margin in their new building. Oh, and oh, by the way, it's not even through year three and it sits half empty on game day. That's probably not good. Not a good sign. As I've said, when the defining feature of your brand new stadium is it looking like it's still being built, empty seats, especially in the ritzy section, and the word vegan, you got problems. The defining feature of Levi Stadium is the word vegan. It's hardly an intimidating football environment. The Raiders would be just fine playing at the Coliseum for another decade. That place is awesome on game day. Seriously is. We will take more of your calls, 888-957-9570. But coming up next, it is our weekly conversation with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Stick around. Warrior head coach Steve Kerr, brought to us by Stevens Creek Toyota in San Jose. It's where the deals are, and we'll always tell you that all of our Warriors guests sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors, and 95.7 The Game. Coach, great to have you back on. Man, you know, you guys seem to have hit that stride. I'm sure you're here to tell me that there's more coming. We're not there yet, but it kind of looks like you're there, Coach. Things are looking good. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, Damon. Yeah, it's been a good run, and like 12 in a row. That's always good. But I am going to speak like a coach. We are going to try to focus on the process a little bit more than the results. We know we're talented enough to win a lot of games, but we want to play better. We always want to get better. So we're continuing to do that, and I think we've gotten a lot better since the beginning of the season, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, you know, so many questions I think that you face are framed negatively. They say, what's wrong with? How long until? How much more do you need, et cetera? Let's go a little positive here.
I like it.
What are you most happy about at a quarter way into your season?
I think just our overall chemistry. You know, obviously we've had great chemistry here the last couple of years, and to totally overturn the roster, bring in seven new guys, including, you know, superstar and KD. I think it's always going to be a question, you know, how quickly would it come together? But it's happened very quickly because of the quality of the people that we have. I mean, KD is as unselfish and modest a superstar as Steph is, and that's an incredible combination to have that kind of skill and talent with guys like that, but also just the humility and the desire to be part of a team. And so it's just been really fun to see the whole group connect and really enjoy playing together and get better and better as they go.
He's a little bit better than even you thought he would be, isn't he?
You know, I knew how good he was from playing, especially that seven-game series of playing against him last year. It's always, you know, you can always tell how good a guy is skill-wise. But I didn't know how good of a teammate he was. And, you know, that you can really can't tell until you coach a guy. But to see him every day, to see him how much he cares about his teammates, how much he wants to get everybody else involved, he actually overpasses sometimes because he's, you know, he's so dominant he could shoot anytime he wants, but he really loves passing and making plays for other guys. And but it goes beyond that. It's not just the passing. It's the overall connection he's made with the group. I mean, you can tell guys love him, and they should. He's a fantastic teammate.
Have you come up with a name for what it is you're running out there? Because I see like four different offenses in play when I watch you at times. And, you know, and then the isolation play is the last resort, and it might be one of your highest quality plays anyways, especially if it's right. Durant or Curry or Clay or something like that. Have you come up with a name for it? Do you even care to come up with a name for this? What do you want to call your offense?
We don't have a name for it, but Alvin Gentry, when he came here 2 years ago, the two of us really put our heads together and talked a lot about our personnel and what we had. And we sort of put together stuff that he had run in Phoenix with Mike D'Antoni, along with stuff that I had run in San Antonio with Pop, and then Chicago with Phil Jackson. And we kind of put together this hybrid, whatever, offensive style. I'm serious. It was actually pretty easy to do because of the talent. I mean, when you have so many playmakers, you can run a lot of different stuff that's going to work. But what we really wanted to emphasize was the number of passers we had. And that was, you know, David Lee and Bogut. We didn't know how good Draymond Green was at the time, but he fit right in with all the stuff we were trying to do. And I think that's maybe the best quality that our team has. And we got a lot of good ones, but the fact that so many different players can make plays. And in fact, when you look at our box score, you know, we're up over 30 assists, and it's a whole bunch of guys with 4, 5, 6 assists. And most teams don't have that. Most teams have a point guard who gets 10 or 12 and then, you know, maybe a handful from a few other guys. So it's really fun to be able to play the way we do.
You know, when you laid out the goals for the season at Media Day, we're watching some of those get checked off. I'm sure you'd like to see Clay get to the line a little bit more, but he's trying. You wanted Durant to be more of a rebounder and a rim protector, and he has been. But maybe the most important thing that has been a box that's checked off is Steph Curry now going to the rim more than ever before. His layup percentage rate is more than ever before. His free throw rate is at a career best right now. How pleased are you that he has responded to that request?
Well, you know, I'm not sure I ever went to him and asked for those things, to be honest with you. I mean, Steph just he knows what's necessary, and he was incredible last year in terms of attacking the rim. I think he had the highest conversion rate of any guard in the paint, and so he's picking up where he left off last year, and Steph just keeps getting better and better. And you know, I've been keeping an eye on the numbers, and I think it's great that he and Clay and KD have all managed to, really play well together. They're all getting shots. They all maybe are sacrificing a shot or two per night compared to last year, but they've all just made it
made it work. And it's really fun to see it come together.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. We'd be telling Curry to watch out for wet spots on the floor tomorrow. I mean, after all, you're playing Houston.
Not only that, I just turned the TV on. I saw the Philadelphia game was...
Are they mopping that up
delayed.
Still? Are they going to be able to play?
I don't know. I haven't turned it back on yet, but it was delayed because of condensation on the floor. I don't know. Maybe it's ice under the floor or something, but yeah, that's always scary when you see guys start sliding around and there's an issue with the floor. Of course, last year was a complete fluke with Steph because somebody went down right in just before he reached that spot. So there was a big sweat spot on the floor, and that's how he got that injury, which was total fluke. But I try not to think about that.
Damian Jones gets recalled, but before I can even ask you if we'll see him during this homestand, he gets sent back to Santa Cruz. Can you tell me what the decision to bring him up and then send him back is for? Who benefits from that? You, him? Tell me about it.
Well, it's all about his development, and he needs to play. You know, he really hasn't played since the end of the college season last year because he missed summer league. So he's just getting back at it. So he's going to play quite a bit in the D-League. But the idea of bringing him back is in between stints. We don't want him gone for too long. We want him to still feel a part of things. We want him to, you know, be around our guys, go through a practice here and there so he's maintaining, you know, all of the knowledge that we're trying to give him as he goes. And then we'll give him some game experience here. I think he's going to be on the road with Santa Cruz the next three or four games, and we'll bring him back. And it'll probably look like that for a while as he continues to grow and get more time.
What did you think of the start you got out of Kevon Looney, who was a surprise understudy in your starting lineup for Draymond in that Minnesota game?
Yeah, Looney was great. He's really a solid player. He's an excellent defensive player. You know, he understands how to use his length. He doesn't bite on pump fakes. He rarely commits fouls on shooters. He makes guys shoot over the top of him. And he's really long and active. So just one of those guys who kind of knows where to be, and he's rock solid. And then on the offensive end, he's got a knack for offensive putbacks, getting offensive rebounds, and using that length. Just a very, very smart player with a good instinct. And I would say anytime Draymond is injured, I feel 100% confident that we can put Looney in the starting lineup and get good minutes out of him.
Yeah, I heard the compliments that you were giving Draymond after what was a spectacular final 40-second sequence against the Hawks, where he had those two all-ball blocks that was just tremendous. And, you know, you were saying you don't think you've ever seen anyone quite like him, a true can-guard-all-five-positions type of player. And you've been around some of the best, from Tim Duncan to Pippen to Jordan to Horace Grant, Dennis Rodman. I mean, you've played with legit lock-em-down defenders, Bruce Bowen, you know, what truly separates Draymond from them? And of a guy who can guard all five positions, what's his best? What's his worst?
Well, I would compare him the most to Rodman, because Rodman could guard all five as well. Scottie Pippen could guard 1 through 4. Michael Jordan could guard 1 through 4.
Well, that's when he actually had centers, right? I mean,
they have real center. I mean, I remember one year we had Rodman guard Shaq in the playoffs when we played Orlando, and he did a phenomenal job. And you know, the league's different now. Obviously, you don't have the dominant centers that you had back then, so it's a little easier for Draymond to get away with guarding fives. But still, I mean, he's incredibly effective, even against the biggest, strongest centers in the league. He more than holds his own. But I think he's at his best when he's not guarding a shooter, when he can play a little center field, when he can switch onto smaller guards and kind of just coordinate everything as a middle linebacker type. Just, you know, just communicate, switch on one guy, switch on to another guy, rotate back, box somebody out, get a rebound, and then lead the fast break the other way. Those are unique qualities. Those are things that not many players can do, you know, all in one package, but he can do it. It's incredible to watch his versatility.
It seemed like Atlanta had the best scheme to slow you down when we watched them earlier this week. Dennis Schroeder is more of a pain in the rear end than I expected him to be. Mm-hmm. Really good player. You know, I look at San Antonio, the Clippers, and the Rockets, and I call those three teams the axis of envy. They were the three teams that thought they were going to run the West until you guys showed up. You know? And you've got Houston coming in tomorrow, a team that you got an awful lot of ownage on. I think you're looking for the ninth straight win over them. What about the Houston Rockets creates the easy matchup for you? Is it the fact that James Harden doesn't want to play defense?
Well, I'll tell you this. It's going to be a much harder matchup now than it's been the last 2 years. We've had a pretty good run against them, but they're different this year. They've added Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon. So they have even more shooting than they've ever had before. And Capella is, I think, the perfect complement to James Harden, more so than Dwight Howard, because Capella sort of understands that he just needs to dive and look for lobs and set screens. And I'm not sure Harden and Howard were a great combination, but Capella and Harden really are. They mix together. So you got that guy who's going to roll to the rim and dunk the ball, surrounded by three-point shooters in an attack that's orchestrated by Harden, who's a brilliant passer and strong and can get anywhere he wants. So this is as tough a challenge as we've had in terms of trying to guard the other team. So it's going to be going to be a tough game, and we're looking forward to it.
I know you got to get running here, Coach, but I just want to wrap up with the same game that we ended Draymond's interview with yesterday. We came up with the game, and the name of the game is Give Me Some or No Thank You. I'll throw out a topic, and you can either say Give Me Some or No Thank You. Are you ready?
All right, here we go.
The Price is Right.
Yeah. What was it? Give Me Some or what?
No Thank You.
Yeah, No Thank You.
Mayonnaise.
Give Me Some.
Blue Cheese Dressing.
No, thanks.
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. Give Me Some.
The Mannequin Challenge.
Give Me Some.
Westworld on HBO.
Just started it like 3 nights ago. My wife turned me on to it, and I'm in. Give Me Some.
The movie Space Jam.
What's in between Give Me Some and No Thanks?
A strong maybe?
All right, a strong maybe.
Diner, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Nah, no thanks.
Clay's dog, Rocco, in the locker room.
Give Me Some.
Nature shows.
No thanks.
Candy Stripe warm-up pants. Go Hoosiers. They're playing Indiana, North Carolina tonight.
No thanks.
Oh,
sorry. I'm really sorry about that.
Come on,
hate to disappoint you.
Draymond winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, Give Me Some.
Weird German haircuts on Schroeder.
No thanks.
Today, the inventor of the Big Mac passed away. Big Mac, Give Me Some or No Thank You.
Yes. I mean, growing up, when I, you know, used to eat horribly, yeah, I had my share of Big Macs. I did not know that. I hadn't read the news yet.
Yeah, 94. He went well. Wow. Yeah. For the record, Steve, no appearance on this show has cost you $25,000, right?
Not that I know of. You're doing quite well.
Yeah, I believe that was your, and I'm using air quotes here, your friend. If you want a less expensive friend, you come back here anytime you want, Steve. Thanks an awful lot.
Good call. Thanks.
Thank you. Head coach Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Always great stuff with Steve Kerr. No thank you to The Price is Right? I love The Price is Right. Not even Drew Carey can ruin it. I was surprised by that. But awful lot of good stuff from Coach Kerr. Your reactions to it when we come on back. 888-957-9570. This is the Damon Bruce Show. We'll start on the text line. Draymond yesterday followed by Kerr today. That is money. Loving the new setup on the show. Yeah, so are we. You know, when we got the rights to be the flagship of the Golden State Warriors, it really wasn't just about the games, although it's the most important part. There's no doubt having Tim Roy calling these games is just phenomenal for our broadcast. But the conversations that I knew we were going to have with Steve Kerr, who's as interesting a head coach when it comes to talking into a microphone as you're going to find in all sports, and then Draymond Green, who is the best quote in the NBA, that's just an embarrassment of riches for us. I mean, on the court, off the court, being in the business of the Golden State Warriors is the best business we could ever be in.
Oh, yeah. Give Me Some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Give Me Some.
Give Me Some, Coach. Give Me Some, and thank you. We need to get to these phone calls before we get to our 5 o'clock hour, which is going to be fantastic and actually wide open for you to give us calls in the 5 o'clock hour too. We don't have another guest until we talk with our friend John Dickinson a little bit later on today about a whole bunch of stuff that he's out there running around covering this afternoon. This is Angel on Hell. We can do it nine different ways. How are you?
Hey, man, thanks for having my call. First time caller.
Thank you very much.
Hey, Damon, I just want to say something to all these 49er fans, man. Please stop pretending like Candlestick doesn't hurt. I work right next door on Gilman. I go to San Francisco every day. I'm a diehard Raider fan, and it hurts. You know, it hurts me not looking at Candlestick every time I turn in that direction. You know what I'm saying?
Picking someone up from the airport when you're driving back into the city, it just doesn't feel right anymore to not see the stick sitting out there at Candlestick Point. It's just so weird that the stadium is not there. It's just gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another thing, you know, a little thing for all those people who think that we shouldn't talk about the playoffs, the Raiders shouldn't talk about facing the Patriots. Come on now, man. You guys haven't seen what we had the past 14 years. We finally have a contender. I just want to say, these people have raisins for nuts, okay? Their balls have got to drop.
Thank you, and Bill Romanowski.
Yeah, damn raisins for nuts, okay?
Okay. Yeah, Bill Romanowski will be joining us tomorrow, and we will be talking about raisins, raisinettes, big old nuts. Why wouldn't we with Bill? Here's the deal. I don't want to get anyone too excited. It's like, how do you keep everyone happy? Maybe if you lower expectations a little bit. Here's the real skinny on the Raiders. Let me just give you the straight dope. Here it is. The defense has still got so many question marks on it. To call them a Super Bowl contender right now is being a little bit generous. I know that you are what your record says you are. They're also a little less valuable to me than a straight up 9-2 record. Why? Well, it's because of that defense. That a defense must play with an iron fist for four quarters in one game, and that hasn't happened yet. For me to really, really think that, yes, Patriots here or there, it's on. There's two more tests to pass here. Can you slow down the Buffalo rushing attack this week? You do that, I'm buying in, reinvesting. And then, if you go into Arrowhead and beat your nemesis on the road short week between Sunday and Thursday, because that's a Thursday night game against Kansas City, if that happens, I mean, if they're sitting at 11-2, if you want to call with a prospective parade route, I'll allow that. At 11-2, you can be as cocky as you want to be at 11-2. At 11-2, we'll have Derek Papa come in here and just start serving drinks during the show. Just full cocktail bar. At 11-2, we'll do whatever. Well, at 11-2, what can't we do? We can strangle puppies at 11-2. No one can even blink. We won't be strangling puppies at 11-2. Not the cute ones, anyways.
I hope not.
It's 11-2, and Gianna's just choking out dachshunds left and right. They're like, what are you doing? She's like, we're 11-2. We can do anything. Ah! I like how we have the same growl in mind.
I know. It's scary.
What is this? Damon, normally celebrities don't like The Price is Right unless they watched it when they were poor.
What?
Oh, you know, Steve Young's not. Well, Steve Young. Steve Kerr's. A celebrity? I have trouble calling Steve Kerr a celebrity. He's a sports celebrity, but he's not like a celebrity celebrity.
I don't understand how that would make a difference.
And I don't understand that either.
You either like it or you don't.
Right.
But who doesn't?
I don't understand. The games? Look, first of all, The Price is Right serves crazy member berries as far as I'm concerned. Remember Member Plinko? Member Mountain Climber? Member Putt-Putt? I love those games. And when I see them now, I still get very, very excited.
Bonkers.
Member Bonkers? My least favorite thing about The Price is Right is that they now have Drew Carey, who just could not give a damn if anyone wins or loses. There is no person who could care less about the outcome of any game than Drew Carey. He's just like, all right, you won $10,000. Great. Ah, you just lost it all. Great. He just doesn't care.
He's just not Bob Barker.
He's not Bob Barker.
Unfortunately.
And I don't like the fact that they got male models on there now.
Yeah.
Keep your male models. Keep your male models. Barker's beauties. Sorry, boys. Go get another gig.
Showcase Showdown's the best part of that show, though. When you get to the end and then you sit there and they're overbidding and you're just trying to talk to them through the television and they're never listening.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Unless it's like a straight BMW, they're never giving away a car more than $35,000.
Oh, no.
You know, it's like you got somebody bidding on a 1987 Yugo in a trip to Panama through the canal, and they're like, $47,565. That's going to be an
overbid.
You know who can overbid for anything? The Tennessee 20. We'll have to talk about this next hour, Gianna. Someone is living your dream without you. I know. We'll get into that. We will get into many more of your calls as well. 888-957-9570. We are going to come back, though, with a little slice of truth. It's how we began the show. We'll reset the show with the truth and with Iman Shumpert just tugging on Superman's cape. What are you doing, Shump? Seriously, you got funny hair. Knock it off. This is the Damon Bruce Show.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.